Hello, welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast for Thursday, September 19th, 2013. I'm your host, Philip Heilman. With me today is Alligator Sports writer, Joe Morgan.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing as well as Oregon did against Tennessee's defense last weekend.
There you go. You ready to talk some football?
Sure am.
All right. Well, on today's show, we're going to have Ryan O'Halloran, the Jaguars beat writer from the Florida Times Union. We'll be talking to him about Tim Tebow a little bit, some Johnny Manziel, and also Josh Evans, and just some league-wide news in the NFL. So go ahead and take a listen.
Even if he's released, go Jags.
Take us through what you thought of the Trent Richardson trade today.
Well, I think any time you have a trade like that that involves a future first-round pick, it's a surprise. I mean, Jim Irsay had predicted for a couple weeks on Twitter that they were going to make a big deal, but I don't think anybody thought it'd be somebody like Richardson, like such a young player to be given up on. And that's what Cleveland did. They gave up on a guy they chose, albeit a previous regime, that they chose in the first round. So to me, this came out of nowhere. Because you think, okay, if you lose your running back, you go trade for somebody else's for a mid-round pick or a conditional pick. But it's surprising that the Colts think Richardson's the final piece, they are probably mistaken because they have other issues.
From what you've heard, is this the case of the Browns giving up on Richardson because of, like, off-the-field stuff? Because his on-the-field play has been, I mean, decent at least.
I think it's them giving up on everything on the field this year.
Really? Okay.
They are in the tank for Teddy sweepstakes right now, and they could have some competition. But you look at Mike Lombardi came in as GM, Rob Chudzinski is the head coach. So basically, anybody who was acquired by the Mike Holmgren regime is expendable. So on the same day, they named Brian Hoyer their quarterback, who they signed. They trade Richardson, and from the Browns' perspective, is you look at it this way, is if Ryan Grigson, the Colts GM, called me and I'm the Browns GM and says, we'll give you a 2014 first-round pick straight up for Richardson, I'd do it.
Because
you can find running backs at other points in the draft. So from Cleveland's perspective, you know, the impression maybe, hey, you're giving up. I mean, you weren't going to win a ton of games even with Richardson in the lineup anyways.
Right. I don't think they're winning more than five or six games a year until they get rid of Whedon. He's looked pretty awful at quarterback.
Well, he may be done right now. I
mean, right, yeah.
They're probably just waiting for Hoyer to catch up or for Whedon to get injured, because now you're going to try to muddle through the season with Brian Hoyer, and then now your backup's Jason Campbell, who is one of the top five people I've ever covered in this league. But he's a number two guy at this point. So, you know, they're going to try and muddle through, and then they'll really start their build with the draft next year.
Yeah, you and Campbell crossed paths in Washington, right?
Yeah, I covered Jason for 2006 through 2009, 6, 7, 8, 9. So,
wow.
Yeah, great guy to cover as a starting quarterback for sure.
He had a pretty good run at Auburn, right? He was there for the national championship team or the split national championship team?
Yeah, the 04.
I think they got shut out completely.
Oh, were they were shut out that year? But they went undefeated that year, right?
They went undefeated, but they, like, the idiots who run college football said, hey, you know, you only won the SEC, but you get nothing.
That was kind of, I mean, you could never have that happen today. Like, no matter what team it was, if you ran the table in the SEC, you would be guaranteed a chance at the national championship just because of, you know, how big the SEC's become the last 6-7 years, winning all the national championships.
Well, and the scheduling has reflected that. I mean, you look at teams around the conference, they're not afraid to play anybody. But if I'm Florida, I would be afraid to play anybody that knows how to play defense.
Right, yeah. How much Gators do you get to see?
How much what?
How much of the Gators have you gotten to see this year?
I watched part of the Miami game, and then I took a nap. It's to me, and I've had this conversation with Jacksonville media luminary Gene Fournette, and he says you can't blame all the injuries or the blue. I place the blame. It's some of the most unimaginative play calling I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I don't running stretch plays to the short side of the field in college football. It's like pissing in the wind.
Yeah. A lot of, like, last week they made, there was a big deal about Brent Pease going really vanilla against Toledo, and then he said he was going to open it up against Miami, and then I mean, it's kind of hard. I don't think he trusts Driscoll. That was a big thing that he talked about this week. He's like, well, when we get in the red zone, you know, we're going to have to really limit some things that we do, because he tries to open up the playbook a little bit, and Driscoll's, I mean, sailing passes into triple coverage. And, I mean, at this point, as a junior quarterback, you can't expect your guy to do that.
Well, especially at this age. But if they don't score 30 on Tennessee.
Yeah. Oregon.
Because they can't stop anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Oregon scored, what, 59 against them last week and had 670 total yards or something?
Yeah, they probably throttled back at the end.
Yeah. I think probably by the third quarter they had most of their starters out and stuff. Something that I want to ask you, keeping the SEC trend going, what do you think about Johnny Manziel, not just in college, but his prospects of playing in the NFL? You're a guy that's been around the NFL for a while. What are you hearing from people, and kind of what do you think from what you've seen from him?
What's funny is that I've only seen a little bit of him because I really don't watch a lot of college football. That my first glance was that he's too small to play because he will have arrived in the NFL with taking so much punishment from college defenses. If I'm him, I leave A&M this year and take my chances.
Mm-hmm.
See what the draft does. It's very interesting to see how some scouts have been quoted in the last couple of days about how much they think of him as a passer, but I'll paraphrase Phil Savage, the former Browns GM. I think he does Alabama radio. Not all 32 teams are going to think he's a quarterback, because all it takes is one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fascinating. Okay, at what point of the draft does that one team think he's worth the pick? I don't think it's in the first round. I don't, maybe in the second round, unless you have a couple there. But I think he'll get a shot because he is such a playmaker, and people in this league respect just about everything Nick Saban does on defense. And
right.
He did a lot of good things.
And how much of guys like Russell Wilson and Drew Brees kind of paved the way where, you know, height, you know, is a disadvantage, like not a lot of height is a disadvantage, but it may not be an end all, like might not be a killer.
Well, I think Brees is the gold standard in terms of that. But even he had to sit, he wasn't a first round pick. So mm-hmm. he was playing behind Doug Flutie, who's even shorter than he was.
Right.
So, and then San Diego felt that they wanted to go with Philip Rivers, and they let him walk in free agency. So it's always going to be a knock. I mean, Russell Wilson lasted until the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Manziel will probably be hurt by that, because you look at the guys now. Robert Griffin III, he's 6'1", 6'2", I think. And then Terrell Pryor is built like a tank. Cam Newton's a big fellow. So you look at all those guys who are tall, but I mean. All it takes is one team to say, hey, we don't care about height, we care about making plays.
Yeah, you got a first-hand look of Pryor last week when the Jaguars played Oakland. What did you think of him? I'd kind of forgotten he was even in the league before this year.
Well, I thought the only chance the best chance the Jaguars had is putting him in third and long and making him throw it. But they didn't do either. he lofted a couple passes. I mean, he's a tough guy to bring down. He's very good extending plays, but it's great to see how he does when he faces a good defense. That I don't think he's at the point where he'll be able to outscore a team, but he also didn't look as out of place as I thought he might.
Yeah, I had completely forgotten him. I knew he left Ohio State, and they had taken him. They took him in a supplemental draft. Was that?
Yeah. Al Davis's last pick.
Oh man, that's a distinction that'll go on his Hall of Fame plaque if he ever gets there.
Well, he's not getting there, so don't be crazy. Jesus.
He did all that against the Jaguars defense.
Hey, that's where I draw the line.
I came home last
Jaguars
week.
Jaguars defense isn't as bad as we think.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, what's...
Their offense is worse, but their defense isn't that bad.
Yeah, the defense has gone over a big renovation with Gus Bradley in his first year there. What have been some of the bright spots there? And then could you just talk a little bit about Josh Evans, a former Gator that's, you know, playing cornerback there, safety for them?
Bright spots on defense. I think Jonathan Cyprian played better in the second game than he did the first game. I think Dwayne Grimes, the rookie from UConn, big loss, him going out with an ankle, because he was probably their best corner through the preseason. But
yeah.
They don't blitz. So they don't get a lot of pressure on the passer. Yet when they play coverage, they still give up completions. Something's missing there, so it's up to the coach. I mean, I think the coach has got to, like, they got to let it fly a little bit, be more aggressive, because why sit back? Because you have to create turnovers because your offense isn't going to score a lot of points. But as far as Josh Evans goes, I mean, he basically is in a redshirt year, even though he's not obviously playing. He's playing special teams. He's playing a little bit in their dime when they go three corners, three safeties. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's running number two free safety in practice behind Dwight Lowry. So, but they seem pleased with him, but, you know, maybe he'll get a shot later in the year.
Now, going back to the pass rush, you were talking about that the Jaguars weren't getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I mean, obviously, if they're at the top of the draft, they're probably going to go quarterback. But how do you see them addressing the pass rush thing going into this offseason?
Well, looking ahead to that is, you know, you look at, if they're going to draft the quarterback, that means you got to take care of pass rusher in free agency. And the problem Dave Caldwell's running into, and granted, it's two games, but hey, let's make some judgments here, is they may be so bad is that they'll have to overpay for a free agent a year before they anticipated spending money. Mm-hmm. They figure that doing it that third year, they could spend some money. So let's say you pay for a pass rusher in free agency. That frees them up to go quarterback in the first round. And, hell, I would draft two quarterbacks. I'd draft one later in the draft, too, because you never know when you're going to find a Kirk Cousins who will need trade bait later on. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the pass rush is an issue. They got a lot of issues, but pass rush is one of them.
Is that just kind of a given if, you know, the Jags win two or three games this year, they would assuredly take a quarterback? Or if, you know, Clowney's, you know, healthy, is that a possibility that they would consider taking Clowney instead?
Let me lay out this scenario. Say they get the number one pick, which is very difficult to do, but they may be on their way to doing it. I would put that pick up for auction, and I'd say, hey, Team A, you're drafting third overall. You want Clowney? Give me your first this year, your second this year, your first and second next year, and you got a deal. Slide down two spots, take your quarterback. Or they could fall in love with a guy who's getting a second or, you know, a second or third round grade, and they'll address another need. So they need linebacker help, they need pass rushing help, they need offensive line help big time. So the more picks, the better. That would be my strategy.
How much did the Redskins trade for RG, like trade up to get RG3, kind of impact what teams can demand for those high draft picks?
Well, I think he was more of a revolutionary player. It may be tough to get that again, unless there's really a sure shot at quarterback. I mean, a defensive end probably wouldn't command that kind of deal. But also, you have to look the team. You have to look at the team that would be interested. Washington was going to trade whatever it took. Mm-hmm. They desperately needed a quarterback. Mike Shanahan's legacy was being tarnished as the years went on. So what he did is he traded all those picks, and right now they have a defense that stinks worse than the Jaguars because they have no depth.
Yeah.
So The thing about Clowney is, if you're a bad team, what do you trade to move up to them? Because if you're still going to be bad and you're not in a lot of pass rushing situations, that sort of negates his impact.
Right, yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering about, how much his actual value would be to a team, because if you've got, you know, multiple holes on your defense, one pass rusher, I mean, sure, that helps, but their career spans already are pretty short in terms of, like, peak value. You might be wasting it on some pretty rough teams still.
Yeah, I mean, if I was drafted first, I wouldn't pick him.
Would you go Bridgewater?
I would go whoever is the top quarterback. Because I did watch some of the South Carolina Georgia games. He's a guy that didn't play hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he bitches about the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So that's not going to help him win. I mean, he's going to get pinned down in the interviews with these teams. He's got to explain himself.
Mm-hmm. Would there be any possibility that the Jaguars might address quarterback in free agency and go pass rusher or lineman or something like that at the top of the draft?
They would address quarterback with a guy, but not a starter, because those guys just don't hit the market. I don't think Jay Cutler's going to end up hitting the market. Why would anybody want Josh Freeman at this point? Because is he just as damaged goods as Blaine Gabbert?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. I think you got to sort of sink your teeth into evaluating the draft and see which guy can be your quarterback in the future.
Did Jacksonville kick the tires on Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins during this offseason?
Probably not Cousins, because with RG3 coming off an injury, he wasn't on the market.
Yeah.
Alex Smith, I think kicking the tires was probably what they did. And when they saw, when they heard what the demand was, they weren't interested, because who would you rather have right now, Alex Smith or Jonathan Cyprien? Moving forward, I'd probably say Cyprien.
Mm-hmm.
If Greg Roman had been hired here as the coach from San Francisco, I think the Alex Smith thing had a better chance of happening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How close was the Roman thing to happening? Because I know there was a lot of talk, like on the internet at least, which,
well, I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
They got pretty close?
No, I was making a joke there.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did you think got close?
Oh, like Greg Roman being the, becoming.
No. Well, what happened is his team kept winning. So he was never interviewed by Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So if Seattle had beaten Atlanta in that second round playoff game, Gus Bradley wouldn't be the coach here.
Just from a time frame.
Because he would have been unavailable for another week. Dave Caldwell would have moved forward. If San Francisco would have lost to Green Bay in the second round, Roman would have been interviewed here, and he probably would have gotten the job. So it's all about. I mean, it's sort of pathetic how it works in the NFL, but you're almost rewarded for losing.
So if Seattle beats Seattle wins their second playoff game, Gus Bradley never leaves, and Dan Quinn never leaves to Florida as a defensive coordinator here.
Yeah, you take it one step like that. I mean, because would Philadelphia, would they have wanted to wait for Gus? Maybe, yeah. But they also didn't know that Chip Kelly was going to circle back. So, it's all it's fascinating how it all works out, because I remember, like, this summer when I talked to Dave Caldwell, I said, if you went to the track, who would you have bet on being your head coach in the year hired? He says, I would have bet a $2 exacta on Greg Roman and Keith Armstrong, the Atlanta special teams coach.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That Gus Bradley wasn't even on his radar. A week later, he's the head coach.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel Bradley's done? Obviously, it's only 2 or 3 weeks into the season, but I saw him when I was there for the preseason stuff. Has his mood changed? Kind of, what's the mood around the team after a slow start?
Well, as Maurice Jones-Drew said today, he must be taking some kind of potion to be that positive. But one thing that Gus told me during the summer is a big thing you learned from Pete Carroll is that regardless of the situation, you don't change. And publicly, he hasn't. He stresses the positives, and then you try to pin him down on some of the issues, and he'll go somewhere. He'll go there sometimes, but like today we're at practice, and everybody's stretching. He comes over to me. I got my sunglasses on. They're like a $6 pair of aviators I bought in New York City. He comes over to me, puts his arm around me. We get our sunglasses from a special place. He goes, I'm getting you a pair of awesome sunglasses. These guys are practicing right in front of him.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Walt Muschamp's going to be offering you guys any sunglasses.
No, probably not.
But then again, he would have to allow you to watch practice first.
Yeah. Did you see the whole church mice bit with Muschamp a few weeks ago?
No, I read your tweets about it. When he tried to make a joke, are there crickets?
Here and there. I mean, he's gotten some laughs. He's gotten to the point where he can kind of set the tone of the room and get some laughs. Sometimes it's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
What, do you think he'll go to Texas?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if Texas would. I don't know if he'd be one of Texas's first calls.
I wouldn't make him my first call.
Yeah.
They need to get a CEO.
Yeah.
Like Saban, offer him $10 million a year.
Yeah, I can see that. But, I can see them offering Big Ten. I think you'd be stupid to leave Alabama. He's building such a dynasty there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw Mike Bianchi was on the Paul Feinbaum show today and said that nobody...
Bianchi's a reliable source.
Yeah, he said that nobody within Florida is really too concerned about Muschamp leaving. And I'd be personally surprised if he did leave for the Texas job.
Yeah, me too.
I would be more interested to see if who Texas would get. Because I mean, if they really had an affinity for Muschamp, they maybe could have run back out a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, how disappointed were you to be in California this week when the Jaguar fans revolted with the Tim Tebow rally?
There were tears. No, I mean, it's a joke. It's pathetic. I mean, you say, okay, I mean, I was disappointed we even acknowledged it.
Yeah.
You know, it's here's the thing people don't want to understand about old Timbo. Is when the Broncos decided to sign Peyton Manning, they thought so much of old Timmy, they gave him a choice, Jets or Jags. He chose the Jets. He didn't want anything to do playing in Jacksonville. And if he really wanted to play in Jacksonville right now, his camp would be putting out feelers to all those talking heads at ESPN who would be putting gas on that fire that he wants to play football in his hometown again. You haven't heard anything from that guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's it going to take for all that to finally die? Or will it ever die?
If he comes out tomorrow, retires, and joins College Game Day,
yeah,
he probably wouldn't die. Mm. But the thing about him is he's bound and determined to play quarterback in the NFL. That's great. Everybody's got their goals and aspirations. But at this point in his career, he's got to play football somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get some stuff on tape. I mean, he can't play in Canada because he doesn't have the arm to do it. And, so do you go to the Arena League? Show that you have some want to and don't want to be given an opportunity without showing anything. New England desperately wanted to keep him on their roster this year. They couldn't do it.
Because of just a number situation?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had a pretty rough preseason.
You know, and so you look at the Jets situation. I mean, you tell me he couldn't have beaten out Sanchez last year. So... Because coaches in this league are all about who gives them the best chance to win on a Sunday, and there have been three teams in the last 2 years that didn't think that was the case with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jaguars aside, there are 25, 26, 27 other teams who aren't interested either.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fascinating going back to him picking New York over Jacksonville. Why do you think he doesn't have any urgency to go to Jacksonville?
I'm not sure. Because, even last year, when the Jets played here, each week for the listeners don't know, is each week in the NFL, the coach and the selected player do a conference call with the other team's media. So, 2 weeks ago, we had Alex Smith and Andy Reid back-to-back on the phone. There was, four reporters. They gave him 10 minutes apiece to ask questions. Last year, we asked for Tebow, declined.
Hmm.
Wow.
We requested the Jets. I was going to fly to New York and do a story on him. Declined. What's he hiding?
Yeah.
So to me, that was a real turnoff. That if you love that city so much, you don't even want to talk to people about it. You don't want to play here.
Why wouldn't he come out and say that? It would be just too much backlash.
Well, I think it would hurt his brand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, do you think he could take the PR hit of his brand to go play in the Arena League, or do you think he'd be better off at this point to just retire?
Well, I don't think anything could hurt his brand other than being a criminal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. I mean, if he goes to the Arena League, his camp will spin it in the correct way. And I would spin it for him. I'd say, hey, good job on you giving it a shot, knowing you got to play somewhere to get back to the NFL.
True.
So I don't think he has anything to lose. If he's afraid of failing, he's already done that.
Yeah.
So... ultimately, he has to play football somewhere. He can't wait another entire season to play in preseason games because now you're going on 3 years since you played a meaningful game.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How difficult is, I mean, you've been around the league for a while. How difficult is it for some of these players to, kind of give up on, playing the position that they want? You know, other guys have come in and not been able to play quarterback. They've had to switch to receiver or some other position.
Because they're just they're more able to do it quickly. You know, Tebow is not an unlike 95% of the quarterbacks that come into this league, it's the only position he plays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can make him into a tight end or a receiver or whatever. So, but he's not unlike all these other third quarterbacks around the league that got cut and now are sitting at home. He just happens to be a big name.
Yeah, he just happens to be, you know, Tim Tebow.
I know you guys both have your number 15 jerseys on right now.
I consider, you know, big Patriots fan, I consider going out and tossing him a bone and getting a Tebow jersey, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
I'm glad you didn't decide to do that because I would not be doing this call right now.
It was weird. When I was back in Jacksonville for a couple weeks, like a month ago, just randomly, I saw like four Tebow jerseys from the Patriots. I don't even think I saw I didn't see a single Jaguars jersey, but I saw like four Tebow Patriots jerseys.
I'm not buying one.
Yeah. Well, enough talk about people not playing the field. Going back to Evans for a little bit, since he's pretty much our local guy here, is he a guy moving forward into the coming seasons whose ceiling is enough to become a number one starter at safety, or is he going to be kind of a depth guy for his career?
When they drafted him, they drafted him in the sixth round. They said he had a higher grade. They had him graded in a higher round.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been all conjecture. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's your starting free safety week one next year.
Really?
All depends on what they want to do with Dwight Lowry. So he has a good build to play that position. He has good range. But I think the Jaguars were just so afraid of starting three rookies in the secondary, they just couldn't pull the trigger even if they thought Evans was ready.
Yeah,
but he's going through what a ton of other guys drafted in the fifth, sixth round go through. Is you go through this apprentice year, and then his offseason coming up is going to be gigantic, and then he can compete for a starting spot next summer.
Right, kind of a guy on the opposite end of his career, another former Gator, Jeremy Mincy. What have you seen from him so far this year?
Not much. he kind of sacked the other day, and he had an okay game on Sunday, but I mean, I was in the minority going into the season. Everybody thought, well, they're going to cut Mincy. Well, you got to get through the season, and his salary cap number isn't that bad this year. It jumps up next year. But he showed that he could slide in and play tackle on third down, and he could play a little end on third down. So he serves enough of a depth purpose to keep him around.
Mm-hmm. So what's your prediction on Gabbert? How many games does he start this year?
I think I said 10.
Yeah.
But that was 2 weeks ago when I had him starting the first two games, so maybe now 9. But, I think he'll start against Indianapolis a week from Sunday.
Will Stansy see the field at all?
Oh, boy. Stansy or Matt Scott, if I'm the Jaguars and I'm sitting at like 1-11, I would start both of them. See what you got.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know? As long as you're stuck on no wins, you gotta play the veteran guy, which would be Gabbert Henning, because you want to get on bench tonight first. Then you can start looking ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you seen the Blaine Gabbert is a Real American video? I wanted to ask you who's more American, Stansy or Gabbert? Because I know Stansy's got a pretty patriotic attitude as well.
Yeah, I don't think either of them has an American flag tattooed on their shoulder. I'll go Stansy because he did his bit on national television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Two other guys, we'll make you go through the entire Jaguars roster, obviously, but two guys that have kind of caught some national attention coming into the year were Ace Sanders and Shoelace Robinson. What have you seen from those guys, and have they done what you expected at this point?
Interesting two guys. Ace has been thrown into the fold as a starting receiver because of the Blackman suspension. Made a couple catches, but he hasn't. Maybe it was too much to expect him to carry over from preseason to regular season. Where I think the Jaguars are making a serious error, and I've written this already, is they haven't put him back on punt returns yet.
Yeah.
That's why you drafted him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Return punts. And they said, well, he's playing a lot of receiver, blah, blah, blah. try to prevent injury, that's how you get injured. But this team is so challenged in the field position game right now. They need somebody back there who can give them a spark. If you need a fair catch at your own 20, then put Will Blackman back there and say, don't move, just catch it. Put Ace back there a couple times a game. I totally disagree with how they're handling this because he's in physical condition. It's not like he's going to be winded. So, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's one guy. Denard is interesting. He hasn't been able to get on the field. Back in July, like the day before camp, on the world premiere of the Jaguar radio show, which you can hear Tuesdays from 7 to 9 on 1010XL in Jacksonville.
There you go.
Dave Caldwell said, hey, we have to be patient with Denard Robinson. To me, that was like, hey, he's not going to get a lot of touches. But then that was before injuries hit. So if you can't find a place for him when Blackman's out, Mojo's banged up, Lewis is banged up, when all these guys come back, I don't know how they're going to use him because I wouldn't trust him as a passer. I wouldn't trust him as a receiver. And at tailback, you got Mojo, Justin Forsett, and then they bring in Todman. So I think he's a guy without a role right now, and that's a red flag.
Yeah, I think he has 3 carries in 2 games.
Yeah, still 3 carries for 1 yard. He's averaging like a foot a carry.
Are they? I mean, could you even expect him to be like a between the tackles ball carrier? I mean, I didn't see much of the Jaguars game, thankfully, but the one snap I saw him get, he was just running between the tackles. That doesn't seem like something that would kind of fit his skill set.
Well, I didn't think so either before until the preseason started, when that's how they used him, because they didn't use Maurice a lot. And he looked pretty comfortable running between tackles because that's what he did in Michigan. He knows how to follow his blocks, and he seemed to have an ability to fall forward, which means even if he stopped, he would get 2 or 3 yards. I don't think he's had enough of a rhythm to try and do that in these 2 regular season games. So it's just a mystery to me that at this point, could you have been better off taking a guard or a center with that pick that could be playing right now?
Right. So what's your final prediction? How many wins did the Jags get this year?
14. No, I still think they'll get. I still think they're getting 4.
4. Mm-hmm. Do you think they? Go ahead.
Because they're playing a lot of bad teams, and they usually, you know, in this league, you usually win 1 or 2 that you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
So I think they'll find a way to get to 4.
Mm-hmm. Is that enough to get out of the number 1 spot, or are they gonna, you think, solidify that?
Well, if they win 4 and still have the number 1 pick, they're living right. Because yeah. last year they won 2 and they couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So, I think to get that number 1 pick, you probably got to just go 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Wins.
Hey, something I want to talk to you. This is kind of random, but I know you're a North Dakota guy. How about College Game Day going to North Dakota State this week?
I think it's awesome. That's my hometown. I grew up going to North Dakota State games, and when I saw that announcement, I was pretty fired up. My parents still live there. So even my dad, who doesn't go to NDSU games, he says, let me go down there and check it out. So it's probably one of the biggest things that's ever happened there in the local sports history. So I think it's great. It's just bad. It's just too bad that they're not playing a better opponent for that game. They're playing playing Delaware State. They could beat them like 70-0.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's cool because, and I crank game day because I think their only other option was to go to that dreadful matchup in the Swamp.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I saw North Dakota State. They beat Kansas State this year. That's your alma mater. Where were you?
Yeah, I was rooting for North Dakota State, though.
Were you?
Because I never attended a K-State sporting event as a fan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was always a reporter, which means that wasn't mean that I was cynical yet. It just meant that I didn't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised. North Dakota State, 2-time FCS champion now. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they thumped Sam Houston State 2 straight years in the title game.
Oh, wow. What a rivalry.
But their offense is probably more innovative than Florida's.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I feel like College Game Day going to North Dakota might be the best thing that state has seen ever. I don't know anything about North Dakota. What do you guys even do there?
What's the difference from South Dakota for those of us who don't know?
South Dakota is the enemy.
Okay.
South Dakota, this is how pathetic South Dakota is. Home of Mike Miller, by the way, who I do like, is they have an inferiority complex. So a year, bunch of years ago when I was a kid, they petitioned to have the name South dropped and just be Dakota. That's just stupid. The only redeeming quality of South Dakota is they have a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Okay.
So when I would drive to college, I was able to go like 82 miles an hour down I-29 through South Dakota into Omaha. But the biggest thing in North Dakota is the home of Roger Maris.
That's a big one.
Is the home run king for clean athletes.
Yeah.
And it's home of the University of North Dakota hockey team, which is a multi-time Division I champion in hockey. So, but the biggest thing in North Dakota is when I go back.
I feel like South Dakota, they've got Mount Rushmore, man. I thought you guys would have the inferiority complex.
Mount Rushmore. Anybody could build a rock.
That's making North Dakota Mount Rushmore with you and Maris on there.
Yeah, me. It would be me, Maris, Darren Erstedt, the former Anaheim Angel baseball player.
Nice. Uh-huh, solid.
I think he's the coach of Nebraska now in baseball.
Oh, really?
Hmm. And then I think Phil Hansen would be on there. He played on 4 Bills Super Bowl teams. But, yeah, it'd be a good group.
Oh, yeah, and one last thing I want to talk about with the Jags. The line is at 19.5, Jaguars plus 19.5. How high does this line have to get to where you feel comfortable taking Jacksonville? Or are you already comfortable taking Jacksonville?
Well, I'm comfortable taking Jacksonville.
At 19.5?
Yeah, I don't think Seattle's going to cover. Because I don't think Pete Carroll wants to run it up on Gus.
Okay.
But also, you just look at history of these of lines this big. The favorite traditionally doesn't cover. In fact, the anomaly is the 07 Patriots.
Yeah, who were just on a rampage.
Who nobody was going to stop them. But like you look at last year, the Jaguars were 14.5 underdog at Houston, lost in overtime. At Green Bay, lost by 11. And they're 13-point home underdogs in New England, lost by a touchdown. So 19.5 is a lot of points in pro football. That's 3 touchdowns. And,
yeah.
But I think if I'm debating a score around like 34-17, something like that.
17? Okay. You think the offense can get that high?
Well, it's gonna be a lot of garbage time stuff.
Yeah.
Should fantasy owners start MJD this weekend?
I wouldn't start MJD ever. because this is a team. This is a team that's going to be playing uphill, which means they're not going to be committed to the run because they can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. It seemed like I think week one they came out. Did they throw the ball a lot early in week one against the Chiefs?
Yeah,
they did. They did because a couple of those were check with me's where they're playing off coverage, so it's an automatic throw.
Okay.
So some of that had to do with what Kansas City was playing.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs look pretty good, too. I know they beat the Cowboys. I mean, that doesn't really mean too much, but a lot of people were talking about them as being a bounce-back team.
For Kansas City tomorrow night at Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think Philly will win because I think they will be able to be more explosive on offense. I mean, the Chiefs are sort of like grind you out, chunk it up a little bit, where I think if the Eagles need to score fast, they'll be able to.
Yeah, this Chip Kelly system, I mean, I think against the Chargers, the Eagles only ended up having the ball for like 20 minutes in that game. Is that sustainable, or are they just going to run themselves into the ground?
Well, we'll see. One interesting comment I saw after the Redskins game is, how is the Eagles personnel going to hold up on offense when they're going to play the equivalent of 20 games in a 16-game schedule?
Right.
Something said for that. I think Kelly said that after the Redskins game is, he has to learn how to manage the game better with a lead.
Right, yeah.
So, if you're up 3 touchdowns, there's no reason to go fast. It's time. You just got to shorten the game and get out of there. So, I think once the season goes along, his system will evolve and the fact that he'll be more pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but you want to just tell anybody that's listening about your show and where they can hear it and some guests that you guys might have. Do you still do it when you're on the road?
Yeah, I did it over the phone last night.
Okay, yeah, so tell the listeners about your show and where they can hear it and what you guys usually do.
It's called The Jaguar. It's Tuesday nights, 7 to 9 at Boston's restaurant up by the airport in Jacksonville. It's on 1010 AM and 92.5 FM, 1010XL.com. It's myself and a Florida alum, Jessica Blaylock.
There it is.
I was waiting for you to fill in her name for you since you're a Florida guy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know.
Crickets will fill.
Yeah.
Some of the guests we've had on this year have been Dave Caldwell, Maurice Jones-Drew, Mercedes Lewis, Chad Henney, Gino Hayes. So things are going well. And if I might say so, it's a damn fine show.
I've heard it a couple times now, and I would agree with you. You guys do a pretty good job, and, you know, the lovely Jessica Blaylock, she doesn't do anything wrong, so.
See, like, that was all I was waiting for 5 minutes ago. Yeah, you had your thumb in your mouth.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what to say about her. She makes me nervous, so I had to take a few minutes to think about it.
Well, here's what you say about Blaylock. Noted UF basketball fan.
She is. That's something that we...
Don't see a lot of those around.
That and a noted Boston Bruins fan, something that we can agree on.
Yes.
So, but maybe we'll have her on next.
I'm sure she would come on in 2 seconds to talk about, what was she was talking about Teddy DuPay the other day, how that was one of her first Gator basketball crushes.
She'd be a great person to have on. I bet she's got a bunch of interesting stories. All right, well, Ryan Howard, we'll be listening to you on Jaguar, and we'll be reading you in the Florida Times Union. We appreciate you having you on, and have a safe trip back from California next week.
All right, guys, anytime. I appreciate it. All
right. Thanks for coming on.
See you, Ryan. Cool. So, yeah.
Bye.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking, 45 minutes out of your night. I'm sure you're pretty busy, so.
Yeah, it's only 5:49
here. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. What are you doing there?
I had gotten done with my main, 10 minutes before you called.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I didn't keep you from doing that or anything.
How bad does Florida win on Saturday?
I just don't think they have the capability of winning by that much. I think they score... I can't see them score more than, 27. I think they win, 27-13 or something. They just don't have the offensive capability of scoring points.
What's the line?
I haven't looked at it yet. Okay. I have to send out the lines tonight for our picks column.
Oh, by the way, we're doing that picks graphic in Sunday's paper.
Uh-huh.
It's, and so I send out the picks there. I send out, the schedule games. Everybody sends them back. The last 2 weeks, Vito has sent them back.
Yeah.
All he has said is, give me Buffalo and then the rest of the favorites. Dude, you fucking moron. There's no spreads in this. How am I supposed to know? So I sent it back to him, and he didn't send it back, so I just picked the games for him.
That's funny.
I picked, all underdogs. I'll let you run.
All right. Well, thanks again, man. Have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
All
right, bye. All right. That was Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. You can listen to him on the Jaguar Show every Tuesday night and read him in the Florida Times Union. Of course, you can read us in the Alligator, printed each Monday through Friday. Joe, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. See you guys next time.